What did you do? And then thank you for being so patient and for us getting started just a little bit later. So I'm going to ask for all of us to stand up, and we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, it feels like a year since we've been all together. It feels like it was last year since we've all been together. And with that, I'll do a roll call.
Director Van?
Here.
Director Dorsey?
Here.
Director Garcia?
Here.
Director Bradford?
Here.
Director Alvarez?
Here. And to my left is our superintendent, Dr. Infield. And with that, we move on right into recognitions. Is that correct? And hand it over to our superintendent.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everyone since we had to cancel our last board meeting due to illness, but it looks like everybody's healthy and the weather is cooperating, so happy to have everybody here. We have two proclamations this evening. One for National School Counseling Week and the other for School Board Recognition Month. So I will start with counseling. Do we have any counselors in the room?
Oh, man.
Uh-oh, we don't have any counselors in the room. Okay, well, I'm going to read it anyway and we'll get it to them. So let me get my glasses. Whereas school counselors are employed in our schools to help students reach their full potential, and whereas school counselors are actively committed to helping students explore their abilities, strengths, interests, and talents as these traits relate to career awareness and development, and whereas school counselors help parents or guardians focus on ways to further the educational, personal, and social growth of their children, and whereas school counselors work with teachers and other educators to help students explore their potential and set realistic goals for themselves, and whereas school counselors seek to identify and utilize community resources that can enhance and complement comprehensive school counseling programs and help students become productive members of society, and whereas comprehensive developmental school counseling programs are considered an integral part of the educational process that enables all students to achieve success in school, now therefore I, Susan Enfield, Superintendent of Highland Public Schools, do hereby proclaim that February 3rd through 7th, 2020, is National School Counseling Week in Highland, and I urge citizens to join me in honoring and recognizing the dedication and hard work of all of our school counselors. And so a public thank you to all of our counselors for the hard work that they do. And next is School Board Recognition Month. In addition to the daily glamour and glory that goes along with your positions, we get 1 month out of the year where we get to acknowledge you for the work that you do. And you know our tradition is that you receive some Highline original artwork courtesy of our students. And Kyle, the artwork came from?
It's from a third grade class in Hazel Valley.
So
there's
Hazel
a picture on the back of the class that made it.
Fabulous. Thank you. And so we hope you'll enjoy these as a reminder of I know why you do what you do. And I just want to say that it continues to be a joy and honor for me to call you my bosses and my colleagues. And, you know, I think it's also worth noting that you did receive the Equity Award from from the WASDA, their association. And by the way, there's still $1,000 that y'all have to. So I'm going to put together a list of suggestions for you, and then we can make that decision so that you can put that money to good use. But seriously, thank you for being the people and the leaders that you are. We're grateful for your service. We know it's not easy. But I know I speak on behalf of all of our staff when I just say we really, really value you and appreciate you and respect the work that you do. So thank you. So with that, I will read your proclamation. Whereas our promise in Highline Public Schools is that every student is known by name, strength, and need and graduates prepared for the future they choose, and whereas Highline's 5 elected school board members established the policies and budget to support our promise and our bold goals for students, and whereas our schools serve nearly 19,000 students in the Highline community, and whereas school directors play a crucial role in promoting student learning and setting clear standards of accountability for all involved, and whereas school directors are directly accountable to the citizens, serving as a vital link between members of the community and their schools, and whereas our school directors are passionate advocates for equity for all children, And whereas it is appropriate to recognize our school directors as outstanding volunteers and champions for public education. Now, therefore, I, Susan Enfield, Superintendent of Highline Public Schools, do hereby proclaim January 2020 as School Board Recognition Month in Highline, and I urge citizens to join me in honoring and recognizing the dedication and hard work of our school board. Please join me in a round of applause for our school board members.
Photo. Group photo.
Group photo.
So, Bernie, we could just do this.
Yeah, you can hold your artwork if you want.
They should.
Bring it on cover.
Art.
What? You want to hold it or no?
Sure, I'll okay. Hold mine.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And I will say that having just come from a meeting with superintendents from around the country, there's never a day that I take for granted the gift that is this school board, because that is not a gift that all of my colleagues around the country have. So thank you for being who you are and not crazy. Okay.
Well, it goes both ways. I have to say it goes both ways.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So we do have one community partner recognition tonight, and then we're very excited for our school presentation for Cedarhurst. So, Lita, are you going to introduce our community schools? Tracy, who's going to come up and get her award?
Yes.
Great.
Communities and schools serve students in Tyee, Highline, and Mandrona, and last year they served close to 1,300 of our students, and we're happy this evening to have Tracy here with Communities and Schools, and I'm going to invite her up to share a little bit about their organization.
Thank you, Board of Directors and Dr. Enfield. I appreciate this opportunity to address you and everybody else who's here. Again, my name is Tracy Oster, and I am Executive Director of Communities in Schools, and we work both in Federal Way Public Schools as well as Highline Public Schools. This is our second year here, so we're really excited. I think it takes kind of the first year to really kind of get things going, and now this year I think we're really kind of digging in. So we're in Mandrona Elementary, Highline High School, and Tyee High School. And what we do is we provide integrated student supports, which is kind of just a fancy way of saying we get kids what they need to help them be successful in school. Communities and Schools is actually a national organization, but we operate locally here. And integrated student supports can be anything from basic needs. So the number, the 1,300 number that you heard, those would be like school-wide needs that are with all the three schools combined. So that would be food, if families need connection with transportation support, if kids need help with clothing or school supplies, we help to get that from the community. We don't reinvent the wheel. We use existing resources and bring them into the school to help support students and families. And then we also work one-to-one with students. So those kids that really have a little bit of a higher needs, as identified by principals and teachers and counselors, we work with them on a one-to-one level to help them be successful with their attendance, behavior, and course completion. So again, we're excited to be here in Highline. I'm excited to have this opportunity. I do have, for board members, I do have a little bit more information in case you just want some more in-depth, and I will just leave it up here. Thank you. All right, thank you so much.
So thank you very much. We actually have a certificate to present to you, and we'll take a photo, so if you wouldn't mind coming up. And we appreciate you being here, and we appreciate the partnership and support.
Oh, nice.
Making a sandwich back there.
All right. Well, now it is my great joy to invite Cedarhurst Principal Dr. Borchet to come up to the podium and share the wonderful work that's happening. And I know that she has Assistant Principal Val Anderson and others with you. So feel free to introduce everyone who's with you, and we look forward to your presentation. Welcome.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Good evening, Board President Angelica Alvarez, members of the board, and Superintendent Enfield. We are excited about this opportunity to share our journey with you. But first, I'd like to start by introducing our team. I have Ms. Anderson, who is our assistant principal at Cedarhurst. I have Ms. Kimberly Burton, who is our kindergarten teacher. I have Mr. Kyle Hutchinson, who is our instructional coach. I have Ms. Resima Aljik, who is our librarian. I have Ms. Mia Biliardi, who is our first grade teacher, but she is the first and second grade teacher of our superstar student. And then I have Miss Megan Stewart, who is also the fourth grade teacher of our superstar student. With that, we will begin. Our promise at Cedarhurst is aligned with the school district's promise, and our mission at Cedarhurst is to create a safe.
Could you hold on? The presentation should be coming up here as well. Okay. Sorry.
God bless you.
Thank
you.
Hot mic.
And our mission at Cedarhurst is to create a safe and caring environment for self-confident, independent learners succeeding both academically and socially. Our students and our staff we have a very diverse community at Cedarhurst, which we are excited about because it is a small replica of our world. Our vision at Cedarhurst is to make sure that every student succeeds every day, and success looks very different for all of our students. Sometimes our students come in with heavy hearts, and for us that could mean that we need to move them from the red to the green, from the red to the yellow, and so success looks very different for each and every one of our students. When you look at our state data, as it relates to SBA, our ELA, as well as our math, and our Washington Comprehensive Assessment for Science data, we know that there is a lot of room for growth for us, and we have been doing a lot of the work. When we look at our iReady data, both in math and in reading, our focus has been in math, the numbers and operation domain, numbers and operation base 10 domain, because what we saw in looking at the data is that when we look at the foundations in numbers, operation, and base 10, which means being able to count to 100 in kindergarten, being able to understand decimals, place value, fractions, division, when we can build a solid foundation for that for our students, then all of the other domains will improve. When we look at reading, one of the things that we did at Cedarhurst was take a look at our ELPA information, and that helped us to understand where our focus needed to be as a focus school at Cedarhurst. Looking at our online instruction, our iReady online instruction, we see that in the green area where it says 30 to 49 minutes, that we're a little behind in that area, but that is because we have several online programs that are going simultaneously at Cedarhurst, and our students are on there weekly. In fact, we have captured close to 7,000 iReady lessons in iReady. Taking a look at our iReady performance versus growth, once again, we see that there is a lot of opportunity for us to grow, and with the things that we're doing at Cedarhurst, which we're going to talk about, Mr. Hutchinson is going to have an opportunity to talk about that, we know that we are going to see improvement at the end of this year. Same thing with math, with our focus.
At Cedarhurst, we know that students cannot learn if they're not at school and in the classroom. So when we take a look at our suspension data, thank you. We completely decided to have a training plan for our staff to de-escalate students, to help prevent students from causing a safety concern, which is the only reason that we would suspend a student. Additionally, our staff have received trauma-informed instruction to help understand why students might be coming with that heavy heart in the morning.
Somebody tell me where to stand.
Okay. How about that? Thank you very much. Additionally, when we look at referrals, we know that a single referral for a student could impact their path in education. So we completely redesigned our PBIS system with many Tier 1 supports before a referral is even written. Additionally, building on the SEL work that was already begun at Cedarhurst, our counselor gives the full curriculum of second step lessons to every student in every grade level over the course of several weeks.
When we look at our attendance data, we celebrate our students when they come to school, and those students who aren't in school, we make sure that we reach out and provide resources for them.
As part of redesigning our PBIS system, we also redesigned our school currency, which is our Bear Buck for individuals and the Paw Pride for classes. So students can earn these for meeting expectations. With the Bear Bucks, they go shopping every Friday in our Prize Palace. And for earning the Paw Prides as classes, they come and join me in a weekly gym bonanza. Additionally, on Mondays, we go over our expectations with students, especially after long breaks. And then every month, we have a PBIS assembly where students get up and speak about what it means to be respectful, responsible, safe, and successful at Cedarhurst.
To ensure that as we come together as a staff, we're always talking about instruction and student learning, we've taken our principal-led PCT times and our weekly staff meeting times, and we've devoted those times to the PLC protocols that our grade level teams engage in. So decomposing standards, planning units, looking at student work, and analyzing it for trends, and making sure that we're really delivering the best instruction that we can.
We also use our principal-led time to work as professional learning communities. And in working in the professional learning communities, we have an opportunity to deliver a guaranteed and viable curriculum, especially with the new math curriculum that has been provided to us.
At Cedarhurst, we work closely with families. We invited families in to celebrate National Parent Day in November. That gave them a chance to go into their child's classroom and participate in activities and see what they are learning.
In addition to seeing what our students are learning, our parents had an opportunity to write down their hopes and dreams at the beginning of the school year, and we have that poster in our hallway where students get to see what their parents have said about their hopes and dreams, and they work towards that. Our story at Cedarhurst, we have wonderful 478 scholars. We have a little over 61 Dream Team staff members. We have a little over 200 English language learners, close to 80 students who have IEPs. And then we have close to 100% of our staff who've attended and participated in the trauma-informed classrooms that have been provided by Doug Judge and his team. And then all of our scholars participate weekly in iReady lessons. We celebrated, as Ms. Burton said, we celebrated National Parent Day. And then yesterday we had a phenomenal food drive, well, all of last week, where we donated all of the food that we collected. Our goal was to collect 400 non-perishable items, but we collected close to 700 non-perishable items to donate to the Highline Food Bank. And when they came, they were overwhelmed because they said they hadn't had that much in over 3 years. And with the recent snow, they were running low. When we think about our growth and our mastery, our ELPA data once again has given us so much information in all of the domains, and it has shown us that we need to focus on writing. We've had 3 professional learning cycles with our PLCs as it relates to writing. We had narrative, which was one of our focus, and then we had conferring, and then the next one was, or we're working on right now, word study from K-2, and then synthesizing text at the intermediate level. I had an opportunity to read through all of our students' writing at the beginning of the year and learn that there is a lot of work that needs to be done, and we are taking advantage of that. Once again, with iReady, we have weekly iReady lessons that students are participating in, and they have an opportunity to participate in a weekly iReady challenge, as well as our math. With our math, we also have a math consultant who comes in and meet with us during our PLC times.
In December, during a computer science week, our students participated in Hour of Code. Hour of Code is a worldwide event where students are introduced to computer science through coding. At our school, every class, kindergarten through fifth grade, participated in Hour of Code, and some teachers also did it in classrooms, and I did it in the library. So throughout the week, students had the opportunity to choose from many different coding activities, and at the end, they received a certificate of completion of the Hour of Code. It was so wonderful to see so many students competing and participating in Hour of Code, and especially to see younger students to use technology to solve problems. And Hour of Code was a huge success at the school, and I'm looking forward to do it again next year with my young students.
In order to support our English language learners, we've expanded access to Imagine Language and Literacy, an online program that offers differentiated instruction along with home language support for our English language learners. We definitely see a need for further instruction in vocabulary, phonemic awareness, phonics, and reading comprehension skills.
At Cedarhurst, we start with the end in mind. We have our former Cedarhurst students come back to us when they're about to graduate. They walk and parade through the hallways, and our students are very excited to see them. We have our fifth grade students who are going to be participating in a Spanish screener, and we also have a trip that we will be taking to the UW. Our foundation.
Equity is at the foundation of our work at Cedarhurst. After the Equity Symposium, a group of teachers got together and founded our first building-wide equity team. We have surveyed the staff, and we are working on personal biases and microaggressions, and we will be having a short equity component to every staff meeting weekly.
Relationships are at the heart of our work with our students and our families and staff. We love and believe in every student as the individual that they are. We make sure they know that. When we partner with parents, we do it together for their students' educational journey.
We also know that we're here to provide rigorous, high-level instruction for our students. So in order to really emphasize instruction as the reason for why we're here, we've dedicated ourselves to having weekly iReady challenges where classrooms with the most iReady lessons have their pictures taken and are posted on the bulletin board. We have individual students who have passed large numbers of lessons celebrated and their pictures taken and put up on the bulletin board. And then if you'll notice, we're each wearing medals. These medals are going to be given out Friday at a special breakfast to really engage our students with the iReady diagnostic so they can show the hard work that they've been doing in their classrooms. We've set up a competition so that three students from each classroom who show the most growth from the first iReady diagnostic to the second iReady diagnostic are to be celebrated, and they will be receiving these special math medals. Their families will come in on Friday for a special sit-down breakfast and will really, really accentuate how important their learning is.
And now for our star student. We will have Ms. Pigliotti speak first.
Thank you. So Yafet is right there. He was a student of mine for first and second grade. He consistently set the example for academics and behavior. He is well-liked by his peers, and peers look up to him. He is respectful, always listens and follows directions. He is honest, and above all, he is kind to everyone he encounters. Yafet loves to learn. In my 2 years with him, he showed up on time every day, eager to learn. He enjoys being a coach to peers, helping them solve problems rather than just giving them the answers. I am so proud of Yafet and all he has already accomplished here at Cedarhurst. I am excited to see where the future takes him because I know he will do great in whatever he chooses.
Thank you. We will have his current fourth grade teacher speak about him. There's so many great things to say about Yafet, and it's just an absolute joy and pleasure to be his teacher. He's a student who has such a passion for learning. He's so patient and does such a nice job, like Miss B said, of just explaining learning. He doesn't just give answers to his classmates. He's excelled on every single assessment that's been given in class and even scored like above grade level with our current math curriculum, which I don't know if any of you have looked at the tests for our new math curriculum. It's highly challenging. And he's just exceeded expectations with that. Even with the current iReady diagnostic that we just got done taking, he grew a total of 23 points on his math diagnostic, which was some of the top growth in the class. And he's just, he's amazing. I love working with him.
Thank you. One of the things that Yafet shared with me is that he loves soccer. So he has a special gift, and I wonder if you can probably guess what that is, that we will be giving to that we will be giving to Yafet. Come on up. Aww.
Would Yafet like to say anything?
Would you like to say anything?
I really what I really appreciate is that my mom and my dad really like helping me get here and always telling me to focus.
That's great. Well, yeah, we're very proud of you, and we have actually a in addition to the book that apparently is in that bag. That's what it looked like to me. We have a certificate for you, and so I'm going to read it, and then what I'd like to do is ask you to come up so that you can take a photo with the full board. And your mom is welcome to come up and take photos and be in a photo, as are your teachers and principals. So, one and all. So after I read this, we'd love to honor you. But we're incredibly proud of you, Yafet. Yes. Thank you for being a role model, not just to other students, but to those of us who are adults as well. In recognition for going above and beyond in your studies and serving as a role model within your school and our community, we honor you, Yafet, as a Highline Public Schools student superstar for the month of January 2020. Give him a hand. And so now we will return to the question and answer portion of the evening for our Cedarhurst team. So we'll open it up to the board for questions and comments.
Any of our board have any questions or comments?
Just want to say thank you. Thanks for coming out, giving us this update, and sharing this time with us. I did want to ask a question. You guys are doing some serious like reflection and hard work to undo some really serious topics. What are you guys doing in regards to self-care to make sure that you're balancing that hard work plus making sure that you're taking care of yourselves?
That is a very good question, and we are learning more about being intentional about self-care.
Thank you.
I just want to echo the thanks. Thank you for taking the time to share. Thank you for your service to students and family. Thank you for your recognition of Yafet and his mother and his family. Yafet, thank you for recognizing your mother and father as those first teachers. So just thank you all.
Director Van?
One thing I'm always interested in is attendance data. So I appreciate you putting that in to the presentation. That tells, I mean, it, to me, that's significant, right? I think kids show up because they're excited about learning. Hopefully, I mean, that's our goal. Mm-hmm. And so that definitely tells a story. So I really appreciate you putting that in there. And then Yafet, is he still here? Yes. He's hiding back there. Nice job. Very nice job. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. That's very energizing to see your work and the product of your work. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes, I also want to, you know, just reiterate what everybody has said, how thankful we are for all that you're doing. And, you know, a lot of times we go on to these conferences or symposiums and then we don't do anything with the stuff that we get because we go right back to our schools or to our offices and we just hit the ground running. And the fact that you guys are practicing and added to your agenda to make sure that it's around equity, it's also very admirable. So continue the good fight, and we're here to support you in what we can. So thank you again for all that you're doing. And to you.
And do we have an explanation for the medallions that you're wearing around your neck?
I will let our instructional coach share.
I missed it. Okay. I need to hear it again.
It was so good.
Yeah, I don't think she. I think we should not say anything.
Go ahead. Just ignore them and indulge me, and please share again.
So when we look at our students, what we see is that they're not always showing the hard work that they're doing in the classroom and the intentionality that the teachers are pouring into them each day. We're not always seeing those results on our assessments. And so when we entered this second diagnostic period for iReady, we really wanted to motivate kids to show their absolute best work, the work that they could be proud of and the work that their teachers could be proud of. And so to do that, we issued a challenge for all of our classrooms. For all 21 classrooms, we said, we are going to look at your iReady data, and we're going to look at your growth between the first diagnostic math test and the second diagnostic math test. And the three students from each classroom who demonstrate the most growth will be celebrated. And part of that celebration is the students on Friday, they and their families will be coming into a sit-down breakfast at Cedarhurst, and each of the students is going to receive a medallion. It says math, and it has a beautiful math outline on it. But each of the students will be celebrated with their families to really show this is why we're here. We're here to learn and to grow.
I love that. Thank you. That was worth hearing again. Thank you so much.
It was.
Please take some photos of that event and share them with us. I want to thank you, Dr. Borchade and Ms. Anderson, for your leadership. I want to thank the staff for what you do every day and for being here tonight to share your pride in the work you're doing and also to celebrate Yafet. It's clear that he's very loved at his school, and that's the greatest gift that we can give them. So thank you so much for all that you do each and every day at Cedarhurst. We're grateful for you, and thank you for being here tonight, and know you don't have to stay for the rest of the meeting if you should choose not to. Okay.
Self-care.
Thank you.
Self-care.
That's
right.
We won't be offended. Thank you, guys. And that brings us on to scheduled communications, and we have none. So we'll move on again to the superintendent.
Okay, so this is our first meeting of 2020 because we had to miss our last. What did I miss?
Well, you missed what they said originally.
Yeah. Wow. I'm going to take back all those nice comments made about the board. Thank you, Cedarhurst, for being here. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
So this is our first meeting of 2020, and what I would have shared with you at our last meeting was the first day back from break, that Monday, I think you all know that we had the president of Harvard University, Larry Bacow, visit Highline High School, and it was a pretty big deal. He was out to speak at the Harvard Club of Seattle, but he wanted to see and meet the students who are part of the Crimson Achievement Program. Mm-hmm. So nice. Harvard Club of Seattle last year found the money and partnered with Alaska Airlines to fly, I think, 10 of our Highline High School students back to Harvard for a week. in April to experience the campus, and they got to visit MIT. And by the way, these are freshmen. So the idea is that we want to get to them early, right, so that they can start seeing that for themselves. And then what the Harvard Club of Seattle has done as well is pair them with a local mentor who graduated from Harvard and is now working in the community. So wow. It's an amazing program. They just chose the new cohort for this year. And it's new, but I think it's very promising. I asked the students, how many of you are at least going to apply to Harvard? And every hand went up. And I have to believe that that might not have been the case a year ago before they had that experience. President Bacow was an incredibly down-to-earth fella. He was great with the kids. He did some one-on-one small group conversation and then presented to, I think, a couple hundred students in the gym. When a student asked him what his greatest challenge was in college, he very candidly responded, girls. He was not, I think, a master with the ladies. So I think sharing that, I don't think that was what they expected to hear. So he got a good laugh out of that. But he also told them, he said, if anybody ever tells you you can't, you tell them that the president of Harvard told you you can. And that's a powerful message for a young person to hear directly from the mouth of the president of Harvard. So I'm grateful to the Harvard Club of Seattle, Alexis Wheeler. I said that we were going to honor her and the club later this year once the new cohort comes back for this investment. But it was a great day, very proud day for Highline. I want to thank our all of our staff, but especially our maintenance and transportation crews, and Scott Logan in particular, for the early morning phone calls last week. We had to make some difficult calls with respect to the weather. It was a very erratic weather pattern, but my definition of success there is not the number of angry phone calls and messages I get, but that every student and staff member gets home safely. And by that measure, we succeeded mightily. So I want to thank everybody for their commitment to getting us through that. And again, just in want to just reiterate my gratitude for you as a board as we celebrate School Board Recognition Month. And the new year is off to a good start here in Highline. So because of the fact that we had to cancel last week's work session, you had your highly capable update work session tonight. What I asked was that Kate not actually walk you through the whole PowerPoint that we sent you, but that she come up and just give a high-level overview of our budget update and our enrollment situation, and then take whatever questions that you have as we prepare for budget talks and development in the coming weeks and months. So, Kate, I will turn it over to you.
Thank you. I'm scared after the last presentation. All right. So I'm going to skip ahead to and highlight our enrollment overview and our budget trends and leave off some of the filler stuff. I mean, all of it was going to be riveting and exciting, but getting to the good stuff of enrollment. So we got our enrollment projections and report from our demographer, and I'm going to start with the high-level King County, and then I'll dive into Highline. King County is experiencing mixed growth. So Lake Washington grew by over 1,000 students. They are now the second largest school district in the state. And the districts in red are experiencing declining enrollment. And you'll notice that most of those are in South King County. So you got Highline, Tukwila, Federal Way, and Renton, and Mercer Island all experience declining enrollment. Overall, growth in King County is slowing due to housing prices. Amazon and other companies are slowing their growth. They really experienced the peak of their growth in just after the recession. And overall, just modest population growth is happening in the area. This slide is a trend for South King County of our growth over the last 7 or more years. We had our peak in 2013-14. And then for the last few years, it was minimal growth, and last year was a sharp decline. Part of why this year's growth decline was subtle is that Auburn is still experiencing growth. They have better housing prices than we have and more available housing. So housing tends to be the big driver of what's going on with our enrollment. Now, for Highline in particular, we reached our peak in 2014-15. We stayed around that level for a few years. Last year, we really saw our big decline of about 600 students. This year, we've dropped about 100 more. So 100's more manageable. However, when we do have declining enrollment, we lose revenue from the state. And when we drop about 100 students and you spread it over 33 schools, that's just a few students at each school. And so we don't actually see savings in our staffing then. So we lose some revenue and we don't really experience savings in our expenditures. What we have on here is two different projections as we move forward. There's a medium projection and a low projection. The medium projection would have us continuing to decline about 100 students, and the low projection has us going down around 300 students. The median would have us continuing to decline, and we would return to about the same level we're at now in 2030. The low has us not even beginning to start increasing until 2028 and doesn't have us reaching the same level that we have today.
Any questions on enrollment before we get into the...
The lower line, was that based on... Was that just kind of a... What's the worst scenario? Or I mean, is there a method to the lower line other than the difference between a 100 drop and a 300 drop? I mean, it was...
It's just more conservative on the number of factors that go into it, which includes the birth trends, housing trends, and retention of our existing students.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm not sure if you're going to talk about this later, but I remember hearing that there's just different strategies around it. And this next fall coming up, around making sure that we have members.
Yeah. So the demographer is the demographer that we and many others in the region have used for a long time, and his projections have been pretty much spot on. Last year was just a big anomaly. But one of the lessons that we learned and are really responding to is that our principals, in some cases, really know their schools well and do their own sort of data gathering and analysis. And we've created a process this year by which they can provide input. We weren't doing that as much before, right? We said, this is what the demographer says, this is what we're doing. But now we really want to make sure that we give our principals an opportunity to weigh in. Kate, do you want to say anything else about that?
Yeah, so with that comes a little bit of financial risk. But we want to hear their voices and we want to trust them. And we will, you know, do that within a manageable amount of risk that we can sustain for the district. So. It'll be explained in trainings tomorrow with our principals. There's four different trainings tomorrow for all of our principals on the resource allocations and their staffing allocations and how to approach the projections. So, all right.
That answer your question? Okay.
All right. Now I'm going to dive into our revenue trend and our expenditure trend. So over... 6 years, we experienced significant revenue growth. It was historic investments were made by the state for the McCleary lawsuit. So they started out with the transportation investments, then went on to material supplies, operating costs, as well as full day K. We received our full day K funding a year ahead of a lot of other districts because of our poverty levels. We got K-3 class size funding in 2017-18. And then 2018-19 was the big, big investment of compensation and some of the categorical programs. This year, we still saw a little bit more money for the school employees benefits program and special education. Next year, we'll see modest growth because of our levy. But after that, we really will see flat revenue. The combination of declining enrollment and only getting inflationary adjustments from the state would mean pretty close to flat revenue growth. And so that means we're going to have to flatten our expenditure growth. So over that same period of time, we were growing our expenditures significantly because we had growing revenues. And those revenues were intended to be invested in our schools, and we were doing that. We've lowered class sizes in K-2. We've added success deans or elementary assistant principals. We started paying for all AP/IB exams. We've invested in several teaching positions in our schools as well. But in order to stay within our flat revenues, we're going to have flat expenditures, which means, you know, just the nature of COLAs and fixed costs going up, we'll have to make strategic cuts somewhere. We don't see having to do that for another year to start having those tough conversations, but we also want to be mindful not just be on a spending spree this year. So those are our expenditure trends.
And I just want to add, too, for the board, that per board policy, we are expected to maintain a fund balance of between 3 and 5%, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Kate and I are recommending that we maintain that 5% fund balance given the uncertainty in the coming years. I want us to be as prepared as possible for whatever curveball may come. And we are well positioned to do that. So I just wanted to share that with the board. Do you want to say anything about that, Kate?
Just that we need to maintain that 5% is going to, we want to save those other 2 percentage points for those dire situations.
Exactly. So I just, you know, it'll look like we have a nice fund balance, but we need that fund balance.
But it won't last long in
the
next
couple
years.
You got it.
Absolutely.
And I'd also say a big chunk of our fund balance is in dedicated accounts, and so that can't be used for just anything. So usually it's like a dedicated balance in maybe our skill centers or some of the categorical funds or some of the grant money. So while it looks like it's part of the overall fund balance, it's set aside for a specific purpose. All right, carry on.
Carry on.
Thank you. Any questions?
Any budget questions?
IDA.
Yes, please. Hide the acorns.
Well, I just wanted to, I mean, I got a sneak preview of this because I've been doing my onboarding. So it was really good. I think I've had a little bit of time to process it, which I appreciate. One of the things I brought up, I think, during my kind of get it out there with the board is we have this equity commitment. And something that I've heard constantly throughout, like, my campaign was how can we make sure that we're living that equity commitment when it comes to it. So just throwing out this idea of do we have a working wage policy or vision that really makes – or a living wage, not working – that really, like, lives up to that. So doing an analysis of how are we making sure that especially some of our, like, lower end of the financial spectrum, are they really having enough to make ends meet, especially with the cost of living rising so much in the county. So
we do comps for all of our employee groups in HR in the region to make sure that we are competitive. And what you also have in front of you as a hard copy is trend data beginning in 14-15. And now we say that these are averages because it's different for different employees, but on average, these are the increases that staff have seen. And as you'll see, it's double digits across all of our staff. So we're proud of that because we want to pay a competitive living wage for all of our staff because we want the best people in Highline. But I don't know if you've had your one-on-one with Steve yet, but he can share some of the comps if that's a question.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Thank you for so much for all of this. This is great information. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate. Appreciate it. And Sandy Hunt had to leave early, so Sandra Aguilar is going to make some brief comments on behalf of HEA.
Hey, Kate, that was exciting.
Aguilar, no.
Aguilar, yeah.
Sorry, she just got me. I said, give me the discourse, and she didn't have that, but... I want to start with saying Feliz Año a todos. Happy New Year to everyone. I am happy to see the new members of the school board. I just want to start with a very positive remarks about hope. And I'm talking about hope because nowadays in the elementary, also at different levels at in our school institution, we are experiencing a lot of violence and a lot of behaviors that we had to deal with it as teachers, right? And I just want to share what happened in Madrona. I just want to let you know that in Madrona, little by little, has been a process, I think, for about 2 years. And I want to tell you that we have 5 people involved in supporting the staff, that without counting our principal and our vice principal. And these 5 people have created a team that had made a big difference in terms of supporting the social emotional and making plans for kids who have behavior problems, and that we need to support them too. But we also need to support the teachers, right? And the other students. So I just want to let you know as a positive thing that we are doing a good work in Madrona. One example was just last week, for the first time, I was attacked by a kindergarten, and I might laugh, but come on, kindergartens are my size now, right? Anyways, but I was able to call immediately, have the team come and help. We don't want to have or the other students see that kind of behavior, because we don't want the kids student know, okay, that's okay, because we are not going to accept violence no matter what. There is not excuse for violence. And so the student was removed from my classroom, and we are planning next week to have a meeting, and I felt, practically, I could not even... she was holding me, so I was not able to even get out of her. So she was almost on top of me. But it's interesting because I feel like it. One of the things the union really want to work this year, because it's more is coming from elementary teacher, is that we need to establish a wide systems in every single school in Highline that have that kind of support. And so the union really is committed to that. We want to replicate what is working one school or another, because we cannot blind ourselves or say those problems are not occurring. They are occurring beginning in kindergarten. And it's going more and more, and we want to make sure to establish a way system that is solid, that is immediately access to by the teachers, and that we all are safe in our environments. And so that's an issue that Ms. Han wanted to tell you, beginning with the positives about what is working. And that obviously in every school it's going to be different, but we need to really put our heads together to really, really establish a system where the social emotional support is there for the students and the teachers. So, and their families, obviously, part of the whole community involvement. I just want to say that, and thank you for allowing me to speak to you. I was taken by, you need to talk my name, and also say hello to you, because we need to start a good foot this time. Right, so welcome to the new members of the school board, and buenas noches.
Thank you, Sandra, very much. We appreciate your being here. And I will just say with the board that we are partnering with HEA on what we can do to ensure that our staff and students are safe. As I said, I was just with a group of superintendents from around the country. This is an issue around the country. We're seeing behaviors that we have not seen in the past from some of our youngest learners. And I don't think anybody knows exactly why. But it's not unique to Highline, but we want to do everything in our power to make sure that we have supports in the schools that keep everybody safe. But it's a challenge. It is an absolute challenge, but we're tackling it together. So thank you. And that concludes my
Well, thank you, thank you. And with that, we move on to school board reports and legislative reports.
Okay, thank you. I just sent out the 2020 WASDA Bill Watch. Kate will find this extremely invigorating, as would Joe. But anyway, there's a lot of bills, and it's a short session, and they're going to be moving really quick. So if you would look at that and see if there's anything specific that you would like to track or you want me to track. One of the things that I've been watching is the House Bill, excuse me, I've got it pulled up here, House Bill 2184. The Comprehensive Sexual Education Bill is getting, it's not only getting press, but it's getting a lot of activity. And I don't know that in its current state it's going to go, but one of the things that I know we're all concerned about, especially given Kate's report, is unfunded mandates. Mm-hmm. And here's one that short-term, maybe not so much, but long-term could have some impacts, at least in cost of curriculum, that type of thing. I also think optically, I think it's going to be really interesting discussion-wise when we're talking to parents about sexual education, comprehensive sexual education for kindergartners. Mm-hmm. As a parent, I want to have that conversation on my timeline. I don't want a K through 12 system dictating to me when I'm going to have it. I also acknowledge that I am an individual parent, and there are other parents that might not agree with me or might not have the same skills. I mean, I waited till 11th grade to have that talk with my son, and you know, it turned out okay so far. But no, I'm only joking because it's a serious topic, and I do think that we have to be cognizant of not diminishing a parent's ability to influence their own child. Mm-hmm. And when we begin to kind of dilute that or take it on as our role and not theirs, then I think it starts to get a little difficult. So I just want to be cognizant of the piece. But anyway, did you?
Well, I just thank you, Bernie. Yeah. And you're right. That will generate a lot of conversation among parents and families and the board. With respect to the unfunded mandates piece, Kate has taken the lead on putting a letter together from a group of districts, correct, Kate, that we're sending to WASA. Well, yeah. So basically saying no unfunded mandates.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Okay. Beyond that, you'll see that list. It's a pretty extensive list, and some of them are, you know, more important than others. But if there's anything there, please let me know, because I struggle with what to track on our behalf and what to, you know, like with that one, I'm, as a father and an uncle, and I'm interested, but and a school board member, but I want to make sure that I'm representing all of us, not just my interests. So.
And Holly does a pretty good job, and Kate, of keeping their fingers on the pulse of what's out there, and if they see a particular item bill that's could be problematic or controversial or needs to be on the board's radar, they're good about alerting us to that. So.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Holly. Thank you.
That's all for me. Thanks.
Director Dorsey, anything? Director Ryan?
No.
Anything?
Right.
Yeah. No? Oh.
I thought we were talking about legislative bill. So.
couple things. You want to talk about Seahurst medals?
Yeah, actually.
No, just kidding.
What medals? Can you tell me more about those?
Susan's like, I'm taking back every nice thing I said.
I think the subsequent explanation was much richer and allowed us to really celebrate the external.
I would agree.
All right.
Couple things. I just want to thank Jennifer for our work session prior to this for Highly Capable. There's some good opportunities for us there and some things for us to discuss. So thank you so much for that. You know, it's been a while. Christmas was just last month, and you know we haven't had a meeting since then. But you know, I want to thank the city of SeaTac, the Rotary Clubs, the foundation, and the local churches that helped out with the Holiday of Hope at Madrona. They helped quite a few hundred kids and their families, where they were able to walk through and shop for their kids and wrap gifts and stuff. So it was an awesome sight to see and. Great. So, thank you. That's it.
I don't.
One of the things I want to just make it a commitment on my part is to continue doing land acknowledgments. So I want to take this time to do just an acknowledgement of the Puget Sound Salish people who have been for many generations the steward of this land and will continue to be the stewards of this land. That was one thing that I did throughout my campaign, and it's actually something that one of the students called me out on, that they were like, oh, you stopped doing that. How come? And so I think I'm going to try to continue to figure out ways to make sure I'm doing that throughout my term. Wanted to throw out some reminders that Lunar New Year, Tet Celebration, Salau, and the Mongolian White Moon Celebration is coming up. So just having that on our radars. I wanted to thank Kyle, Catherine, Suzanne, Holly, Kate, and Tove for doing the onboarding lessons. I really appreciate it. I know that I kind of went haywire sometimes. I didn't really stick to, you know, some of the things, but I appreciate the flexibility. And what else is going on? I'm going to send out some pictures of the Cascade Middle School Tet Celebration. It was amazing. Like, I think it's the epitome of what we want to be seeing with the dual language program, because it was all student run. It was done in English and Vietnamese. And it was just like true student leadership. Like, adults were there to be supportive, but like they were running the show. So I was so impressed by that. I went to the Highline Wrestling Invitational, and it was it got pulled off perfectly. So on the side, I used to volunteer as a wrestling coach, and these things are a pain in the butt sometimes. And it's really hard to have something that ends before like 8 o'clock, but I just wanted to give a shout out to Phil and his team, because that bad boy was like spot on. So thank you. What else? I wanted to do some highlights. I'm going to be going to the Mount View Parent Empowerment Night. They asked me to speak, and I had to remind them that I'm not a parent. So I will be speaking still. They still wanted me to be there, but I wanted to throw that out there. That's tomorrow night. And the Evergreen Band is going to be doing a fundraiser this Saturday, Pasta, Pesto, and Jazz, for their trip to Disneyland. So I'm really excited about that. Shameless plug, you guys can still buy tickets. Yes. And I'll also be attending that feast celebration, the after school snacks program. I really want to learn more about that, and I work with them often, and to see what are other strategies or ways to keep that momentum going with the program. And Highline Forum, we had an amazing, wow, just riveting. So much, so great. That was rough, guys. It was worth going, and I'm excited to be part of it, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
But the three things, it was interesting because they were, I think the vision was to try to figure out how to create some common threads with their policy agenda. I think the three, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there's some momentum around noise mitigation bills, the second chance noise mitigation bill, something around the 509 path. Yeah, everybody except for Buren seemed to be on board. And then there's no bill that's been dropped yet around ultrafine particle studies, but that's something that they really wanted. So,
very exciting stuff.
So exciting.
We should invite Kate.
She'd probably find it really exciting.
But it was really interesting to watch all the different stakeholders try to figure out like, how can we commit to something? Am I giving up too much power in a decision or in support? It was fascinating, but it was also like a lot of time. Yeah. So that was my Highline Forum update. And we will be hosting the next Highline Forum.
Oh, good.
So that's on March 23rd?
Maybe we can.
I'll put it in.
Okay. Okay. So if you guys want to experience that and also be a good host, you guys are more than invited to attend with us.
March.
We should get medals.
Yes. Oh. And the last thing I wanted to share, sorry. One of the things that I'm going to try to do, so Tove really got me hip to the social media stuff. Tovin?
Oh, Tove.
Is she here?
No, she's okay. Not, but.
Don't let her know. Tove.
Tova.
Tova. Gotcha. Oh, man, I'm going to keep messing that up. But something I want to do for African American History Month is just highlight a different leader, different artist, different person through my social media. So I'm going to do – I have a list that I'm going to send out to everyone. But I work with some of my friends to identify, like, maybe people who haven't traditionally been represented during Black History Month. So that is it.
Cool.
Awesome.
Very cool.
So I just wanted to share. So, yes, I was there, and I'm glad you gave that report because it was good. I had an opportunity with President Alvarez to attend the inclusionary practice project with the other team.
Jennifer.
With Jennifer. And I left so energized and tired, right? I left just really thinking about, you know, so much opportunity and really also thinking about, again, that holding that tension around pacing and the cadence in which you move. And so I'm really, thank you, Jennifer, for taking this on. It's with districts across the state. So, and it's not all districts. It's interesting to see who's not there. I'm really glad that we are a part of this and that we're learning from this. I think we have some real opportunity to learn in order that will inform whatever it is that we're deciding to do. So I'm really excited to be there. I'm excited that by the composition of the team, the fact that, you know, we're really intentional around, excuse me, thinking of various system levels in the system, including a classroom educator, a building leader, of course, the board. One team I remember hearing, they did have human resources there as well. And I think that I think the creating that composition is closed, but we really have a lot of opportunity to be intentional around the internal messaging and distributing the work. So anyway, thank you for that. I'm looking forward to the next one. It's one of four convenings this year. And so just really looking forward to what we have an opportunity to learn and do.
I agree. I'll just add on to that. It was really good. You know, it started started thinking about other inclusionary areas and started talking. And we had a break, and I didn't even let Jennifer get up to go to break. I was talking her ear off, just thinking about some of the other things that came up and in my thinking. So I'm also really thankful to be there. And one of the other things I wanted to add, and just the director reports, that we committed to really reporting on our assigned duties, kind of. So I want to ask Kyle if you could send us a list of who's assigned to what.
Yes, and it was on the agenda for the last one. So it's supposed to be the first one of each month.
Okay. The first one each month.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't see the medal this time.
No medal for you.
So it'll be at the February 5th, and it'll be on the agenda under school board reports.
Thank you. Well, with that, we move. All right, Bernie, I'll pass it on to you.
So I was just going to say, I want to thank you, Aaron, for stepping in. The Highline Forum is, invigorating, as you and Faiza found out today. But it's critical, and I think the reason I wanted to speak to this was because we have such a unique role with our district and our partnerships with the other municipalities. And I'm also wondering if it's not time for us as a board to consider. We at one point called it the Healthy Highline Community Coalition, and then one of the municipalities, the council considered that social engineering, so we had to modify it. And it's an example of how within these five entities, we oftentimes get five different positions, but on those rare occasions, we all are on the same position. And to me, that's the value of the Highline Forum, because there will be times where, granted, you know, it's not always enlightening, but there are moments of connectivity that I know we're all always watching for. But I'm also feeling like with Aaron coming on board, with Faiza coming on board, that maybe there's opportunity for us to kind of reconvene. Just this little forum we used to do was we let ourselves in on a Saturday morning and we had coffee and donuts and muffins and juice or whatever, and there was no staff. It was city council members and school board members. And we just sat around and talked. And personnel changed, positions changed, people became elected and unelected, that the conversation skewed away from what was for the good of the many and more for what was the good of the few, and it disbanded. But like all good efforts, I think it may be time for us to kind of persist a little bit. So I would be happy to volunteer to try to put that back together again a little bit and see if we can reach out to the cities and ask them to designate one or two council members that might be interested around, you know, those one or two things that we all agree on, because we all know there's leverage there. And I think the opportunity may be there too. Just so mm-hmm. And if you'd like me to do that,
yeah, I can help with that. I'm okay. Down to partner. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bernie, yeah. For doing that.
Yeah.
Sorry. And the reason I think one of the things I noticed during this is that Federal Way and the Federal Way School District were supporting each other with their ledge agenda, and I think. The other municipalities would be down if we do what you're talking about, though, create that space. And when you show up in Olympia with that, like, regional, you know, unified approach, it goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, okay. We'll work on that.
All right, thank you, Aaron and Bernie. So with that, we move on to approval of our consent agenda. So I'll ask for a motion to approve our consent agenda.
I actually have a question just from the consent, the personnel report. Is this protocol for me to ask a question?
Absolutely.
Okay. It's just around just noticing that there was a special education attrition happening in the mid-year. Just wondering what our plan is. Are we using agency to backfill that? Are we... How are we helping? How are we addressing the attrition and serving the students?
You're correct. We have had turnover in special education, also special education para educators, and our plan is to recruit and retain. We have on February 1st, this coming Saturday, a job fair, and we will be a week before Seattle, and we are recruiting. We're also looking at our current student teachers and wanting to call the best of those into our program. And then we also want to really look at what are the supports and what is the culture. Special education teaching is challenging, and we need cultures in which school by school, people feel supported and want to stay. So it's something we have our eye on, but there's a multi-pronged set of strategies around recruitment and retention of special education staff.
Thank you. I guess I was just really thinking about the immediate, like those students that are missing those teachers now. How are we addressing the needs of those students?
We do have about 9 agency special ed teachers that we're using right now. Candidly, we've had better success in previous years with the agency employees, and we want to make sure that we have absolute highest quality staff serving those students, and we think that the long-term hire is the better solution, but we do have stopgap measures in place.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anything else?
No.
So with that, I'll ask for a motion to approve our consent agenda.
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, our consent agenda has been approved. Nothing has been removed. So we'll go into our action items. So There is a motion to approve 2020 legislative agenda. Any questions or comments, suggestions?
Yeah. I mean, I had sent out kind of a thread of are there these other areas that we can elevate, just because I know that it's an area of focus with the state legislature, to make sure it's gaining traction on us. And so I brought up like the theme around homelessness. Does that help? Because I've never actually used a legislative agenda. But would it help to match up some of these things, like what we are asking for, with this the other parts of what we're doing as a school district? So in the email that I shot to everyone, those were kind of different areas that I was seeing. Hey, this is what I like, the pulse that I'm getting that's happening in Olympia this year versus what we're trying to do. Or is it better to just like list out the things that we kind of had, knowing whether they're going to get passed or not, but these are like the things that we really need?
I would say the latter, probably more than the former. And the reason is because, especially as someone like you that is really following that, and as someone, you know, that tries to follow it, you see these issues. And one of the things that I think is really has been and will continue to be an increasing challenge on behalf of education is, where's the education line and where's the social service line? And over the years, they've become so intertwined that they coexist, right? But I think that our challenge is to maintain our charge, which is to build the best public school system we can. Now, social issues are a major part of that. We know that. But our primary function is building schools, paying staff. And so I think the latter position, and not that I'm not open to a broader discussion as the year goes on, but for this year, I think it's in our best interest to stay with the three or four things, mm-hmm. That speak to our mission, but do that and advocate for the other things that we know need to have focus on also. So that we've got the paper position that we're standing on, but we all know that it's in our hearts to advocate for those other issues too. I just don't, I personally don't think we want to commingle those this year, but I'm open to the discussion as we move forward next year. At least that's my take.
Holly, as our sort of ledge rep on staff, is there anything that you want to add about the development of the ledge agenda? And as you're walking up, I will just say too that one of the things we try to do as well is align our ledge agenda with other districts and with WASA, and to some degree WASDA, so that we've got some collective impact. And I think the job number one, and Holly and Kate will correct me if I'm wrong, is, and I was at an editorial board meeting with the Seattle Times talking about this, is that, you know, yes, the state did infuse our system with a tremendous amount of money, but as you see from that chart, we're not fully funded, right? And I mean, that is going to continue to be ledge agenda priority one until we have the resources that we need. So what we try to do is make sure we keep that priority one and not get too distracted with other things that will take the legislature's attention away from that. That said, what Holly and Kate will also probably tell you is the governor's budget we're not going to see much mm-hmm. investment this year. So, but that doesn't mean that we don't keep the pressure on. Holly, Kate, do you want
to? Yeah, so I think I'm kind of afraid of this microphone now too. So What we have tried to do is to align our budget with our surrounding districts in the ESD so that we have a coherent, cohesive message kind of from this region and also the other districts that we work with, so that K-12 looks aligned. I think, though, Aaron, or Director Garcia, to your point, having a homelessness plank would I think, feel weird to us because it's not our wheelhouse. However, talking about the impact of homelessness and why we're requesting more funding mm-hmm. for student supports mm-hmm. is directly yeah. in our wheelhouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I kind of feel like that's how we get to some of those things, is to say, yeah, this is a huge issue, and we're not here to talk to you about housing per se. We're here to talk to you about what students need, and our homeless students need specific things. So that's just kind of one way.
Which is why the 0.484 of a school psychologist that the state allocates right. us is probably insufficient, right?
Right.
Right. So.
Right. So that's one example of a way to kind of do the both and. And Kate, did you want to talk
about that?
Yeah. that there, so we have the opportunity to testify in support a variety of bills, and we don't put all of those things on our legislative agenda. So, for example, we're working with members on funding for our big picture school, and it's a smaller item, so we didn't put it on and it's something that impacts kind of just us and not necessarily our surrounding school districts. So we didn't put it on our agenda specifically, but we are watching those bills, signing in and going down and testifying. And so homelessness can be one where we watch the bills, sign in and support, or go testify.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So with that, any more discussion?
No, I just think that that makes a lot of sense, the explanation and the distinction, even Bernie, that you were making, because then there is opportunity perhaps then to partner with different municipalities who do have this as their priority for their legislative agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Always good to remember the scope.
A final comment is, thinking about scheduling for next year, would it be possible, especially if we are doing some more work with our regional municipalities, around getting this done maybe in like early September, so that we can start to like pitch that out there to some of the other folks to see if it's aligned with their stuff? Because that was the other thing about going to the meeting today at the forum. I was like, well, this is what it could be, but we're not, you know, we haven't even voted on it yet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting conversation. I mean, it really is. And I struggle with this because we all know that we need more resources for this type of thing. But we also need more textbooks and we need teachers. And we need, I mean, and it's, I guess the way I look at it, Aaron, is I can advocate for what's in my heart. But I also have to acknowledge that, you know, the system that we're in charge and responsible for needs to serve. And so balancing those two things. So like with the homelessness thing, I totally agree with you. And I think that's a great suggestion, is that if we were to work with our local municipalities, that we begin those conversations sooner than later. But between now and September, you and I both know that we will advocate for those services either way. And so the kind of the responsibility and privilege of the seats that we hold is that we have an elevated voice in those conversations now. And so talking about with Burien or SeaTac or Des Moines or Normandy Park or Tukwila for that matter, we can do that as school board members representing our student family populations. And so we don't need legislative agendas to do that.
Yeah.
And you're already doing it anyway. So I don't want the conversation to, I don't want it to feel like we're saying, no, we're not going to put that on a legislative agenda. Because I think there's other opportunities to have influence that, you know, we all could exercise too. So.
That we all do already.
We do.
I mean, we do it.
Early learning, homelessness, food. I mean, it can be overwhelming. So,
any other comments or suggestions?
One comment. Sorry. I'm sorry. I just wanted, I've been meaning to call this out the last few. The financial reports are wonderful.
Yeah.
They're brief, concise. Mm-hmm. I can actually understand them. Thank you. That was all.
Okay,
no,
I'm done.
I think she needs a medallion.
Is that okay?
She gets a medallion.
You get a medal.
What medallion?
You get a medal.
What medallion?
Kyle, can we get some medals made?
They'll be here on Friday.
Thank you.
And Andrew Burgess as well.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Andrew, I'm sorry.
All right. With that, I'll make a motion that the Highline School Board approve the 2020 legislative agenda.
I'll second.
Kyle?
Director Badford?
Yay.
Director Dorsey?
Yay.
Director Van?
Yay.
Director Garcia?
Yay.
Director Alvarez?
Yay.
This motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. So now we have some introduction and action items. Any discussion on motion to approve the revisions to classified substitute employee salary schedule? Comments, questions, discussion?
I guess question. So this is just bringing our staff up to the minimum wage, correct? Is that
That's correct.
The increase.
Regionally, there are steps that go into effect in January that increase the minimum wage. We do this as a matter of routine for our classified substitutes and also our athletic coaches, and those are the two that we're bringing forward today.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Any other questions, sir? With that, I move that the Highland School Board approve the proposed changes to the classified substitute employee salary schedule effective January 1st, 2020.
Second.
Kyle?
Director Bradford?
Yay.
Director Garcia?
Yay.
Director Van?
Yay.
Director Dorsey?
Yay.
Director Alvarez?
Yay.
This motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, Kyle. With that, we have a motion to approve revisions to the athletic coach's salary schedule. Any comments, questions? None? So with that, I move that the Highland School Board approve the proposed changes to the athletic coach's salary schedule effective January 1st, 2020.
I'll second that.
Kyle?
Director Garcia?
Yay.
Director Dorsey?
Yay.
Director Bradford?
Yay.
Director Van?
Yay.
Director Alvarez?
Yay.
This motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, Kyle. And with this, we have a motion to accept the final acceptance of purchase order P180503. Any discussion or questions, comments?
Question. So this, when it says final, we're final. This is the last purchase order. We're good to go.
Final.
This is it. No more spending. That's
underlined,
it.
Underlined, capitalized.
This is it. This is the final acceptance after 37 change orders on this project. This was a unique project in light of that number of change orders. And as you're aware, we lost, had change plans midway down the road when discoveries were made on sections of Building B where we actually had to demolish the building. We were lucky to have Forma Construction as our general contractor. This is one of the better groups we've ever worked with. They were the same contractors that built the medical science building at PSSE and had the flexibility to work with us and create those change orders in an efficient and appropriate way, so we were able to get to the finish line on time, open the school, and actually finished under our recovery budget that was designed under budget.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate that.
Thank you for clarifying that. Final.
But that's also, I mean, that's collaboration with the city, and just there was a lot of people involved with
a lot
us.
Of people. The city of Des Moines worked solidly with us on that project to get it to the finish line.
It's great. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, I move that the Highline School Board accept the work of Forma Construction Company, Inc., purchase order P180503. For the Olympic Interim High School Construction Project for a cost of $17,174,766 plus Washington State sales tax of $1,717,476.60 for a total of $18,892,242.60.
I'll second.
Kyle, please call roll call.
Director Van?
Yay.
Director Dorsey?
Yay.
Director Garcia?
Yay.
Director Bradford?
Yay.
Director Alvarez?
Yay.
This motion passes 5-0.
What medal? Okay, with that, we move on to introduction items. We have some introduction items. Wow, tonight has been a good night.
Yeah, it has been a good night.
For some.
Okay, we have some introduction items. We have a motion to approve the resolution 0120, which is the approval of this motion would approve the 3-year waiver request from the 180-day school year from the OSPI requirement for 3 days for the 2021, 2021-22, and for the 2022-2023 school year. The other intro item we have is a motion to approve renumbering and revision to the business services policies. And we also have another motion to approve revisions to policy 2120, the suicide prevention. So these are introduction items for next.
Can we? I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start at the last one first, the suicide prevention. Just a verbiage more than anything, kind of the thinking behind it. I noticed on the first bullet, we've crossed out. I can read it to you. Oh, thanks. We've crossed out substance or sexual abuse, comma, violence, or, and we've inserted self-harm or suicide. Is that to say, is that to insinuate that those three preceding things are wrapped up in self-harm? Because to me, that doesn't, sexual abuse doesn't make sense. I mean, self-harm doesn't.
Yes, that's why we took, So that's why we took it out, the sexual abuse portion, because it wasn't making, it doesn't really align with the suicide prevention. We added prevention and self-harm, we added suicide and self-harm because they tend to, you know, they're sort of in the same camp, if you will.
Because prevention, not.
But can't that lead to suicide?
I mean, not
theoretically, all right?
I think it's a little more complicated than that.
Okay.
So we didn't, I don't know why that was in there, to be quite honest. I didn't
draft
the original, but it just was off and odd, and so we took it out.
Okay. That was the one thing I was just kind of curious about, but because it was identifying training opportunities and, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
so what we wanted to do was clean up the actual policy. We did not have procedures tied to it, and so we added procedures, which, of course, you don't have to approve, but for your reference, where we wanted to flesh out training, intervention, the prevention, training and intervention. Sorry, guys. I don't know what's happening. The prevention and intervention, where we wanted to actually flush that out and what that looks like and create an annual plan around the training. So that none of that was called out originally.
Okay.
In the policy.
Okay. We'll take a look at it. And then maybe next meeting we can, because I'll look at it a little more too. I mean, it's one of those semantics things, but it seems like, well, as you said, a lot of things can lead to that, too.
Because not all sexual suicide, but not all sexual abuse is going to lead to suicide.
No, but not all substance abuse is either.
Mm-hmm. I believe we took that out, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying is you took it out. Exhibitors right. who indicate, including those who exhibit indicators of substance abuse or sexual abuse, violence, or suicide. And you crossed out substance, sexual, and violence, and inserted self-harm. And I just don't know that you can consolidate those three. So I don't, maybe I'm not thinking
about it. Yeah, the intent wasn't to consolidate. Self-harm is sort of in a continuum around suicide. So it's not separate. It's not like a separate and distinct thing. Substance abuse and use may or may not contribute to sexual assault, may or may not contribute to. It was sort of just out of place. But self-harm is in a continuum around suicide,
okay.
If that makes sense.
Okay, I'll digest it a little more.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Kisa.
All right, any other questions for the intro items?
I just wanted to make certain I'm understanding the 180-day school year requirement. So are we talking about 183 days? Is that what we're...
Or 177.
Or 177.
Yeah.
But it's...
So is it adding the 3 days in addition to, or taking three away because of conferences? Okay.
Okay.
So it's 177.
Okay. Of instruction. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. How about any other? You guys are not interested in the renumbering and revision of the business services?
I think if we, I was reading into that and it just aligning ourselves with OSPI, there were some policies in there that I would like to look at prior to us approving this on the next at the next meeting, but getting in line with OSPI. So,
all right, thank you. Do we want to add any items to the consent? I make a motion that we move the motion to approve the resolution 0120, adding the 3-day waiver or request for the 180 days. Moving on to the consent agenda.
Second that.
Yeah.
So we'll move that on. And the rest, I know that they had still some questions. So
can you take a vote, please?
Oh, sorry. So All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Sorry, Kyle.
Thank you.
Thank you. So the other rest, I think, have enough questions that you guys want to keep a conversation going. With that, we know we have no unscheduled communication. So just our next board meeting is on the 5th of February at Glacier Middle School.
Woo-hoo.
Wow. Ooh. So exciting. So with that, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
A motion. We adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Let's adjourn.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Thank you, Steph,
for
staying.
Kate, could I see you for a second?
And Director Bernie.
Have a good evening.